Is there anything else? Let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the beautiful sunshine that we have. And Father, thank you for allowing us to be here to worship you. Father, we ask you to watch over all of our members that are absent this day. We look forward, Father, to have everybody together again so that we all can worship you. Father, we ask you to bless those that are sick. We ask you, Father, to take care of them. We ask you, Father, to be with the Campbell family and the loss of their little granddaughter. And Father, we pray that the family can heal. Amen. Help us, Father, always to look to you for our needs and our cares and our love. And we know that you'll provide these things to us as long as we love you. Thank you so much for Jesus. Help us now as we worship you. We pray in spirit and in truth and forgiveness of our sins. Amen.
Amen. Let's open our books this morning to number 142. 142. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior,
God is love.
God is
till to earth's remotest bound, God is love. In Christ we have redemption found, God is love. His blood has washed our sins away, His Spirit turned our night to day, and now we can rejoice to say that God is love. 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 Come on, let us all unite to sing that God.
Jesus gave us instruction. We'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Father, we're so grateful that we can be here this morning and to show our love for you, and we're grateful that your Son had his love for us, that he's willing to die for us. Let's pray. Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this fruit of the vine, which represents that precious blood that was shed for us. Again, Father, we pray that who partake of it do so in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for all that you bless us with, our health, our families, just everything that you do for us every day. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Father, we pray that as we give back today, we'll give back with a cheerful heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We have 11 present this morning. Today is April 26, 2020, for taping purposes. If you would, at this time, let's mark our song books, number 696. 696 is the song of invitation. Once you've marked that, let's turn to number 331. 331.
Come on.
change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before ye, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Amen. This week I had the privilege, and they had the plan so that we'd all be safe in doing it, to go up and teach a class at the Memphis School of Preaching on Thursday evening from 6 o'clock until 8:30. I was able to go, and they wanted me to share with them the techniques of preaching and putting sermons together, and I presented the presentation what I have done since 1966 in regard to the outlines being called not topical and textual and expository, but the outlines being known as topical. There's a lot of things below that, and so we call them reference to the concept of
patterns.
And when patterns are used and to help the needs of people, then of course you really don't run out. And I haven't run out of sermons to be put together and delivered in ages and ages since 1966. What about you and I as individuals and others that are around us? That's our topic today. As we find ourselves looking at self, let's look back just a moment at Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 1, what God said to Jeremiah. He says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Then said Jeremiah, "O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." Jeremiah went, and of course he told the people in that day and time that God had decreed that they would suffer at the hands of those who came against the people of Judah, and that they needed to repent, and he shed tears for the fact that they would not listen to what he had to say and face the situation as God would have them, because God would forgive them, care for them, and protect them. But that was not the case, as it turned out. He, as an individual, was called by God to go and to teach, as he says there, "I command thee, thou shalt speak. Whatsoever it is I command thee, thou shalt speak." Think about the individual role in life and what we have as a purpose in life, and how it involves other people round about us in life. When we do that, we find ourselves doing what God's will says for us to do individually in life, and we find ourselves being the people that God would have us to be. Otherwise, we find ourselves not being the people that God would have us to be, and it's a terrible outcome for us in that regard. In the book of Romans chapter 13 and down at verse 12, we read, "The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, nor in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." The brethren there at Rome were people who were given the opportunity to be whatever it was that they see around them. And he's telling them the night is far spent and the day is at hand. The time of judgment will come eventually. And therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. When we put on the armor of light, as he talked to the Ephesians about that, he told the Ephesians in regard to this armor of light that they were to put on, to be people who followed the Lord and his way. And as a result of doing that, they would be people who were strong enough to resist whatever trials and temptations that they faced. Individual service of God, that's the idea that we have in mind. The idea of being the people that God would have us to be. Jesus our Lord, he talked about the individual's role and his fellow man as well. When he talked there in Matthew chapter 7 at verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Notice an individual is saying, I think of the Lord, and the Lord's been put in front of me by somebody's question or somebody's statement, and I'm thinking about the Lord, and I say, Lord, Lord. But not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Notice in this connection, our Lord Jesus is saying there's a doing of being what God would have us to be. And individually, how we are doing as God would have us to be is so important and so critical for us to be those kind of people. As a result of that, we find ourselves an opportunity to influence others for good and for godliness' sake. If we find ourselves not doing that, then we are sad indeed, missing an opportunity that God wants us to have. He wants us to be an example to others. He doesn't want us to get into the vulgarity that they say in front of us, and we say, I'll be that kind of person in front of them. He doesn't want us to be a person that, as others give us a temptation in life, be it a physical temptation or a mental or whatever type of temptation it will be. The love of money, the love of righteousness in life. As he says here in regard to this matter of Romans 13, push aside these things, these wantonness and this chambering and all this situation. These are sexual sins and wrongdoings that they were given an opportunity there in the Roman Empire to be a part of. And as a result of that, go on into the house. Go on into that situation. And go on in and be a part of it. He said, no, do not do that. Do not do that because that's not the example to them that they need to see. They don't need to see that kind of example. As he told to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and 12, be an example, the last of those six things that he mentioned is purity. Be an example of purity. Be a tupos of purity. That tupos word meaning they come into contact with you, they'll be more pure in thought, more pure in language, more pure in conduct about life. As a result of your example to them, they will be that kind of better person. They'll be thankful and they'll be joyful that they're received well at home rather than suspiciously at home and hesitating to be loving at home. There'll be people who realize that you care about them enough to stay pure in life and holy in life. And God himself will be praised as a result of your way of life. Be an example to the believer in this way of purity in life. Do that sort of thing. When we find ourselves being the people that God would have us to be, we look at the Apostle Paul and how he was living. And he thought he was doing the right thing. He thought that going out and persecuting those who were following Christ Jesus, he felt like that those disciples needed to be punished and they would turn away from him. They would quit showing the example of that. What kind of example were they showing to the people as they lived for Christ? Were they showing an example of falsehoods and wrongs and wickedness? And they were showing an example of thievery and murderers and so forth. No, they were not showing those examples. They were showing examples of patience and compassion to others and in need helping people and doing things that were righteous and good. Those were the things that he was objecting to as they lived. And they were giving credit to Jesus for that influence in life to be that kind of person that they were living that life as Jesus had lived. And as a result of that, they could be the kind of people, as late as 1 Peter chapter 2, in reference to this matter, as Simon Peter will write, that they need to follow the example that Jesus set forth, who when he was tried, he did not revile in return, he did not slander in return, but rather he promised himself to God the Father, who judges all things righteously. He let God be the judge of that, and let God be the person of judgment. He was quiet about it, did not reply to it in like kind. He was an example of the right thing to do. And when the brethren there found themselves not doing the right thing and doing the right, he was finding out something that he could punish and persecute, because in his mind they were not doing the right thing when they were following Jesus. But in meeting the Lord on the road to Damascus there in Acts chapter 9, and realizing the Lord said, go into the city as a blind man, and you will there be told what you must do. And he goes into the city, and he goes to the place that the Lord tells him to go. And now then, he's led by the hand to that place. There's no one that's there. But by and by, there comes to him a gospel preacher. A preacher who's hesitant as the Lord called upon Ananias to go and teach this man. And he said, you go and teach him, and he'll be a witness for me. Not for you, but for me. He'll be a witness for me wherever he goes, whatever he says. So as he comes in, he sees a man who is so, so pitiful. A man who realizes, I have wronged the Lord. I have messed up. I'm here lost. What do I need to do? He told me that someone would come and tell me what I need to do. And immediately this gospel preacher says, Brother Saul, a fellow Jewish brother, not a saved brother yet, still had his sins with him. And he'll tell him he has his sins with him and what he can do with them. And so he says to him, now, Brother Saul, fellow Jewish brother, why tarriest thou? Why are you tarrying any longer? You're in misery now. You're in sadness now. Why tarry any longer? Arise and go be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. When Paul refers to this time in Romans chapter 6 about his time of obeying the Lord, he said, shall we continue in sin then that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also are raised to walk in newness of life. I have said several gospel meeting times and places about the plural pronouns that are used by Paul here in Romans chapter 6. How he mentions about how we and us and our. We all know that from the third grade on, that there are plural pronouns. As a result, he steps in the batter's box and he hits the ball. But we as a team work together, passing the ball back in and getting him out by the time he gets home plate. We work together. And the idea of we is different. It involves more than one person. It involves a team of people. It involves groups of people. And when Paul says, when we, shall we continue in sin, you and I, God forbid. For how shall we do this if we died to sin? When we died to sin, we don't live any longer there. Individually, we don't do that. I didn't do that back yonder when I obeyed what Ananias told me. And you didn't do that when you obeyed what I told you. We found ourselves obeying the Lord and we became individuals like that. He continues on in Romans 6 to say, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not be enslaved to sin. He goes on and explains, as God reveals to him this message, how that God is thanked. Romans 6 and 16. But God be thanked that whereas you were the servants of sin, you were enslaved to sin, you became the servants enslaved to righteousness. How did they become enslaved to righteousness? By that form of doctrine that was delivered to you, being then made free from sin. When were they made free from sin? Well, earlier in that same chapter, same context, in Romans chapter 6. When were they made free from that sin? When they were baptized into the death of Christ and raised to walk a newness of life. That's the wonderful blessing that we have. That's why each week we come up and we warm up the baptistry pool here. The water's warm this morning. It's ready to go. For anybody to decide to obey the gospel on a Saturday night, they frequently can come by and obey the gospel in my past days. And on a Sunday afternoon, they can come and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing to do. And we want to be ready for it. We want to be not people saying, oh, it's extra cold, but rather, well, it's preparation time waiting for me. You were looking forward to my coming, obeying the Lord. Indeed, I am. That's what Paul is saying to the brethren there at Rome. They were thanking God. And God was thanking them for the fact. But God be thanked that you were the servants. You were enslaved to sin. But have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So doing what's right now on the way. I'll get in my car and I'll talk about right ways to drive. I'll get him with a friend and a neighbor there, and I'll talk the right way to him. Instead of gossiping, instead of slandering, instead of immorality talking and bad jokes being told, I'll talk the right things. I'll be in righteousness serving the cause of God now on in my life because I'm made new. I was raised to walk in newness of life. That's the blessing. Paul will refer to his life in that way. Not before, but after he obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in Galatians 2, verse 20, one of the momentous statements that Paul made in his life as he wrote to the brethren in Galatia, he said, I am crucified with Christ, just like you, just like you, just like you. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I'm still in the flesh. I'm still looking the same old way. I still look at my mirror and see the same old person there, physically speaking, that I was before. But being crucified with Christ, now then I'm a new person. And as a result of that time of being baptized into Christ, I was crucified with him into the death of Christ. Raised to walk in newness of life. And so he says there in Galatians 2, 20 and 21, what he did. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, he gave himself for everybody, didn't he? But Paul uniquely was thinking about himself there and his example to the brethren in Galatia. And he's saying, he gave himself for me. Without him, I wouldn't have any hope whatsoever. The brethren there by Luke's words in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is salvation in none other. There's none other name under heaven that's given among men whereby we must be saved. That Savior, Jesus Christ, that Jesus, the Savior, the Deliverer, Christ, the Anointed One, he was the Anointed One of the Heavenly Father, and he offers us eternal hope and salvation from sin. To those who are listening by way of the internet system and our studies of God's Word in this matter of we individually and others, what kind of influence do we do with others? What kind of thing? There's one thing that we can do that will make a difference in other people's examples. And that's obeying the Lord, as we've seen through Timothy, to be an example to the believer. And be a person who is in purity in life as he lives among others. As Paul wrote to the Romans and talked about how they left the ways of sin and became the servants of righteousness. But one of the things that our Lord Jesus Read it there in Matthew chapter 6 in reference to the wonderful golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, when I write myself a note about that, when I put it in front of me each morning I shave, and when I put it in front of me each time I sit down at a place to eat a meal, when I put it in front of me when I get an automobile to travel, do unto others as God would have you to do. Do unto others just as I would have you to do. That's what the Lord wanted to have done. And so as we go out and meet others, we want to tell them about the joy of God's word. We want to tell them about the joy that we have learned from God's will and God's way. And as a result of that, we have an opportunity to make a difference in that person's life. Maybe they have